I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
I'm Carrie O'Donnell, and I'll be your co-captain on this bumpy boat ride to Mykonos called Lohan Island. A sexy, unique spinoff.
Hey everyone.
Hi.
It's Carrie and Lara.
We're back. We're back in Mykonos.
We're back reporting from the front lines of Mykonos.
We're reporting from the Aegean Sea.
We dove down
and then back up again.
We're now emerging from the water.
Gasping
for breath.
Flailing our way to shore.
Trying to maybe get a cabana or a drink, but unfortunately...
It looks like it's too crowded.
It's too crowded with... just like dead souls.
And I don't have $2,000 to spare.
No. Okay, so some quick updates on like the current status of Lindsay Lohan's beach brothel. A person that I know through another person, so I don't actually know them,
right.
But it was like a friend of a friend, was in Mykonos this past weekend,
right.
And documented the Lohan Beach Club in its current state, which is just an abandoned ghost town with like a rusty pole.
That is insane.
So I then went to their website, which Google Chrome wouldn't let me go to because it said it was like a suspicious website that would probably steal my identity. So I opened Safari.
It was a viral website.
Got Safari, let me go there.
Of course, Safari always comes through.
Safari's always like, it's your life, yeah. Your journey. Who are we, like, to judge?
Yeah, Safari's like, if you want, sure. Chrome's like,
your funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chrome's like the, like, micromanaging you.
Mm-hmm.
Safari's like
my dad, and Chrome is like my mom. It's like being 14 all over again.
All right, if you want, right, to try,
fine.
See,
sure,
for yourself.
Yeah.
Good luck.
So Safari loaded. I called the number because I was like, put my investigator hat on.
Did it have like a plus?
Yeah. It's like, I made like an international phone call.
I love that you did that.
And it rang and rang and rang and nothing happened. And then I was like,
when it called, was it like, boop, boop?
Yeah. It did the international
boop,
ring.
Boop. Okay, good.
Yeah. And so there was like no recording or anything. And then I was like looking on the website to figure out what the fuck. And it does say that it's closed during the off season. And if you want to have a Club Lohan experience, you should go to Athens because that one is like currently raging.
Wow. So it's like a summer club.
It's a summer club. But like, I didn't know that summer clubs were shut down like for good.
Well,
in like the, like where you, like I'm telling, it was like, you saw the photos.
Yeah.
It looked
like a little like I Am Legend.
Yeah. It was like a dystopian future.
Yeah. I mean, I guess because it's like new, it's too risky to keep it open all year. And like they're banking on the summer, like.
But maybe it's just, I think Mykonos is maybe a summer business model anyways. But like.
I guess, is it cold in the winter in Greece?
I don't know. But then it's also like, doesn't look like anything that's at that club is that expensive.
Right.
Like the beach chairs and those like thatched hut VIP things.
Hurricane Harbor.
Yeah. So.
Well, I want to know, like, I mean, that's That's pretty fucking wild. The pictures looked haunting. It looked like, you know, like an abandoned boardwalk park, like a pier.
Yeah.
But my question is, like, the Athens Club, is that like a roving club? Like, do they, is it like one of those clubs that like changes locations?
And no, I think it's like a super fix? Club that's okay. Like fixed location, huge, huge, like warehouse style.
So we're probably going to get a spinoff.
Maybe. Hopefully. We can also, only hope.
When are we going?
We now have to go.
We have to go to all these places.
The good news is that now it's a tax write-off because it's a business expense.
Right.
So to Mykonos we go, maybe this summer.
Maybe we'll report, we'll do like a special like...
A live from Lohan
like
Island.
Of the show.
It's like The Daily when they do like special reports like Caliphate, where it gets like really serious string music intro. And like it's us in just like doing investigation from the ground up at Club Lohan.
But like what's happening there when no one is... Do you think there are like vagrants that like live there?
Yeah, it looked like you could... Actually, there was like not enough shelter.
You like climb under... Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, but like you could maybe like curl up next to the Lohan Beach House sign. And at least then you would have like shelter. Something to kind of... Yeah, there's no like real shelter that's left.
From like the harsh Aegean,
Mykonos winters.
The harsh Mykonos winters. Maybe Mykonos in the winter is like a tundra.
Yeah.
Like maybe it's like the Hamptons in the winter.
It's like wild hares running all around and like a winter fox. I think it's like just pretty mellow in the winter. I don't know. All questions that we'll answer, hopefully, over the course of this and in 2019.
I did love that the photos that we saw, I guess there were, someone had a typo and it said Club Logan. The Logan Club, I was like, true.
Club Logan.
The tracks.
Yeah, like they didn't even really care enough to really say like what it was. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Club Logan.
Club Logan.
Something
I have a lot of respect for you for making that international call.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to do what I have to
do. You have to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
For the love of Lilo.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe.
We should encourage all of your listeners to just make weekly calls.
Make weekly calls. Maybe send emails to whatever they're.
Demand to
I'm
know.
Sure it's like info@lindsaylohansbeachclub.com or something.
And Lindsay probably is probably answering all the emails.
She definitely gets the notification for emails on her phone and like sees it.
And she's like, what is this?
She's like, never answers. She has like probably 45,000 emails. She's like the kind of person that would have like.
I have 45,000 emails. I have legit like 20,000 emails unread. Like,
you pile up the emails and you have that, or you don't have that.
I am like, I need to like Marie Kondo my email. Like, I need to see what emails spark joy with me, because most of them are like.
Most of them don't.
Most of them are like moveon.org and like.
Literally, maybe one out of every 30,000 emails sparks joy for me.
Yeah. Like, any email I actually want, I don't. I get, like, once every 2 months.
Yeah.
I only get, like, every other email is, like, some politician, like, being like, Carrie, it's been a while. You know? Or, like, I hate to be telling you this.
Mm-hmm.
Or an email from Grubhub. Or an email from, like, Theory.
Mm-hmm.
And I have 20,000 of those.
Mine are, like, Goop. Notifications about bills either that are about to get taken out of my bank account or like bad news of some sort.
Yeah, most of my emails are bad, and I am a total email hoarder.
Like, people, I like to read them and then I'll just like forget about them, which is also bad because I just don't want to have to deal with them. So some will go like days, if not weeks, without a response.
But you keep it like moderately clean.
I never have like a ton of notifications. Like, I just read through them just because I don't want any notifications. I want to pretend like I'm a person that doesn't get any emails, which is also not the way to like go about it.
My mom sends me like links to articles about how to clean your email because she's seen it before, and I think it really disturbed
she's
her.
Concerned.
No, I think she's like, I think she's like, is this a warning? Is this a sign that Carrie's like, is he unwell? Meanwhile, like, it's just perpetual, so it doesn't really mean good or bad. But I think my mom is just worried about me like spiraling.
Yeah,
she's like, she'll send me these like sweet, like, just just a thought. And it's like, how to clean your emails. And I'm like, thanks, Mom.
So those pile up and those now account for like 500 of them.
Maybe I should just pay someone like with the little money I have to like just go through and like read all my emails.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know how to like tackle a problem when it's gotten into like the five-figure mark of like email backup.
Yeah.
Delete everything and just move on. Like,
delete all?
Maybe.
Can you do that?
I think so.
I don't even want to put anyone through the trauma. Maybe I should just pay myself to delete my own emails.
Pay yourself $1 per email that you delete.
Now I'm concerned.
You'll be in
debt.
Am
I spiraling?
It's just, it truly, there are two personality types. It's like the email buildup are like people that have like 4,500 text messages that they haven't read.
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah, like I think the top tier. Like that's like where you have like tons and tons of texts that you haven't read. That's like crazy.
I think that's more troubling. And I'm not just saying that because I fit into the email category.
No, but you have a voice. You can have a say. You can speak to this.
I feel more as someone who's in one of the camps, I can safely say that when I see people's screenshots on Twitter and it says like 45 in parentheses, I'm like, how the fuck are you going about your day?
Yeah.
I get like a group text, but like constantly, even if you're not answering the group text, like go in and just, how do you... First of all, it builds up on your phone.
Yeah.
I delete text messages a lot. Like, I go through, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because that... You keep it clean.
That takes up a ton of memory. Yeah, if you go through your memory... So, this is helpful.
Yeah.
If you go through your memory, a lot of it... Most of mine is from my text messages.
True.
So, just go through, like, from, like, last year, like, messages that, like...
Yeah, there's also an option now that you can click on your iPhone settings that will delete every text that's over a year old automatically.
Oh, that's good.
Which is what I did.
But anyway.
Anyways.
But I love when a celebrity will post like a message and I know that they love seeing like 100.
Yeah, celebrities are the people that let the texts build up.
They want people to
know. And they
do
it for a reason.
It's absolutely fronting.
What you do when you become... Some people, when they become famous or known, they then just let the texts pile up.
Unanswered.
And they might not let that happen with emails, but they feel very free to do it via text.
Yeah. Texting is more... Email's more like...
Email's just like... Ugh.
Genuine hoarding.
Who likes email? It's like you're just like either dealing with it or you're not.
Text is... It's a choice.
Yeah.
It's anyway.
A strong choice. Anyways.
Answer. Which one are you? A text person or an email person?
Yeah.
Like,
write
and subscribe.
Us. Yeah. We need to talk about one thing before we get into...
Lilo.
Okay. And that is this Instagram post that Dana Schroeder... posted.
Should I pull it up too?
Yeah, I screenshotted it just in case she came to her senses and deleted it, because that's what I would do if I were her. Okay. But you were right about her Instagram being one of the best accounts out there. Yes.
Right. Well, I mean, it's funny because I only went on like pretty much one wormhole with her, but mm-hmm. otherwise like I haven't really been frequenting that, but I'm glad that people
are catching
like
on.
I was worried that I was just like maybe barking up the wrong...
No,
fixation.
You're doing the right thing.
Okay, but so, this was insane.
And Dana, it has like big Lilo energy.
She does. She's kind of a cross between like Lilo and Winona Judd.
Totally.
Yeah.
So Dana posted like a collage of her and Stassi.
A truly deranged collage that has no symmetry.
No, and it's like blurry lines in between each photo. It's like really, it's troubling.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
Then her caption was... These are the moments I treasure with my wonderful daughter. Not the moments from last night's episode, debacle. And I just need to take a moment to tell you how she spelled debacle.
Please.
D-A-B-O-C-K-L.
You know what?
You guys.
Brave. That's bravery to just be like, you know what? I don't know how the fuck this is spelled. I'm not going to Google it. I'm going to leave vowels out.
And I'm, you know what? I'm not going to edit it once I know that I spelled it wrong.
Debacle.
And I was like, is she joking? Like, is this like just a creative choice? But I think that that's earnestly, she misspelled, she does not care.
On first glance, it actually looks like the Babadook.
It does. It's so Babadook.
My mom had a babysitter growing up my mom's from the New England, and she would pronounce bottles, bottle. And that's what that looks like. The
oh
bottle.
My God. That's
debacle.
A James Kennedy.
Yeah, bottle.
Debacle. I'm shook by that still. then she goes on to say, Nastasia knows how much I love her and how I think she's the most confident, smart, witty, kind-hearted, loving girl. I'm so proud of her and all her accomplishments. I do, however, have to step back and tell myself that people that don't know me or us don't get to see our rapport together. We are funny and sarcastic, dramatic, silly, obnoxious, and always teasing or taking digs at each other. Okay, that's
side
like...
Side note, like, I don't do that with my parents.
No.
I don't... People who are like, yeah, me, like, we make... Like, that's... I don't think that's...
I've teased my mom about certain things, but, like, but I've never...
Teasing is one thing, but, like, making digs...
My mom has never told me, like... that I'm down here and a guy that I'm seeing is up there. She's never like undermined me in that way. And she would never do that.
That's playful digs and teasing with your parents is one thing, but telling your daughter she's beneath the man that she's dating is.
Yeah. And like begging her boyfriend, like not to leave her because you know, she's a monster. And then also telling Kristen Doty, she's the strongest woman you've ever met. And that you hope that your daughter grows up to be half the woman she is.
That's trauma.
That's trauma. Stassi's the most successful woman on this show.
Yeah.
Anyways.
That's what our family does.
Yes.
And yes, sometimes we drink too much. That is who we are. That's who we are.
That's who we are. With each other and our friends.
You have decided that that's who your family is. You drink too much.
And yes, we drink too much.
Awesome.
But that's who we are.
That's great. That is who we are with each other and our friends. And that's why people who don't personally know us would think that I was seriously saying those wisecracks to Beau and Stacey to be that horrible of a mother? Question mark. I was trying to be that embarrassing funny mom. And I get it. If I saw this show and someone's mother was laughing and teasing her daughter unmercifully, I would think she was awful too. Spelled
T-O.
T-O. You finish it off.
But y'all have no idea how loving and close of a family we are, including Beau and the girls and their wonderful mothers. I'm very sorry if I offended anyone in our group that day.
This is a big moment, by
the way. In all caps. Alcohol plus medication plus no food equals disaster. Hashtag never again. Hashtag sorry I pinched your butt, Beau. Hashtag felt the need to clear the air. Hashtag no judgment. Hashtag not everyone is perfect. Hashtag love my Stassi. Hashtag love Terry. Hashtag love Beau. Hashtag love Kristen. Hashtag love Katie. Hashtag love Erica. Hashtag love Sheena. Hashtag Framily. At Stassi Schroeder. At the good, the bad, the bogey. At Kristen Doty. At TN Maloney. At Music Kills Kate. At Sheena Marie. At Erica Von Noble. And at Sandy LV, at F Doty.
Wait, love Sheena.
She included. So
why?
Because I think it's like if she doesn't include
Sheena's gonna.
Yeah, like Sheena and Erica need to be.
Yeah.
Because also, if they're not included, there will be drama.
Right.
So then, now we need to take to the comments section because that's where shit is fully going off the cliff.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
Like. I'm sorry, but okay.
What?
I don't really know what to say.
If my mom posted this,
you're just being a mean person.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an embarrassing mom is someone who's like being like, oh, I want you to have babies. And like, that's one thing. Or like being too like, do this, do that. Like, it's like, that's embarrassing parent stuff. But like, to just be. That was just downright cruelty.
Yeah. And also when you're mean like that to someone else, you don't like the way you apologize for it is like you own the fact that you were mean or like A, you might not want to say anything publicly. You might just want to go to that person and be like, look, that was really mean. Like,
I was drunk.
And talk about your relationship to them and like suss out why exactly you felt it was appropriate to do that. You don't publicly apologize and then say, I was trying to be a joke and you guys don't understand.
Yeah, you don't, because it's gaslighting.
Even if that's joking, it's serious.
It's she's blaming everyone. She's blaming all of us.
And then to do hashtag nobody's perfect, and that's like also just like such a bullshit. That's like you're actually not sorry for a goddamn thing you said. You hate your daughter, you're so resentful of her.
Hashtag sorry I pinched your butt to her significant other.
Like, yeah. If my mom like you can't touch people like that.
Yeah.
She fully Me Too'd Beau. Not to get like be that
it's
bitch,
true.
But it's true. If Stassi's dad did that, if like Beau's dad did that to Stassi, it would be like, what the actual fuck?
It'd be like a news story.
Yeah. So Katie's mom commented, Why would you think that you offended any of us? You're one of the sweetest, most caring women I know, and I'm so lucky to have you as one of my closest friends. I love your crazy, obnoxiously silly personality. That's also not a compliment. We always have lots of laughs and so much fun when we're together because of your free-spirited attitude. You are an incredible mother that would do anything for your kids and never treat them negatively. That's not true either. You do like to tease and joke around, but then again, don't we all? So please do not apologize for the way you may have appeared to some viewers last night. They don't know you like your friends and family do. I love you, my sweet pea sugar muffin. Never change.
So they basically have the same dynamic, like the moms of Stassi, Katie, and Kristen.
Yeah.
The three of them do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these comments are crazy.
They're fucking crazy.
Your mother's love shines through. Sad and ridiculous. Any viewers would misconstrue moments of a scene. The overall reality. Am I freebasing, like,
yeah,
like just other people, their trauma, like, mm-hmm, is being projected through here, being like, it's normal, like normalized emotional abuse.
Oh, that's, I think, what, like, a majority. Yeah. You're like, you've now entered the twilight zone.
I mean, look, my parents aren't perfect. Like, I have, all parents traumatize their kids, mm-hmm, no matter how good they are. Yeah. But like, this is like another level.
My mom would not do this to
me. No, my parents would. My mom would never do this to me.
No.
My mom would never sit my boyfriend down and be like, you're up here, Carrie's below.
Yeah. And if she did, I would be like, did you do that? And why, like, are you feeling this way?
I'd be
about
like, we
me?
Need to go
to therapy.
We need to go check ourselves in.
Yeah.
I love your dynamic and think you're one heck of a cool mom. Dana was a spitfire last night. Who are these fucking people? And they're all, are they all moms?
These are also abusive mothers that are like chiming in, who are like letting their behavior be normalized by Dana's. That one
mother,
that you
daughter?
Just read, she goes, no one is judging you though. We saw you for a few minutes on a show that's meant for entertainment. None of us are perfect either. So she's like, hit her daughter.
The episode made me cry during those scenes. I get it, though. We see a very small portion of your life that is edited for shock value for a TV show. You and Stassi are both beautiful people. However, I cried because I miss my mom terribly. She's been gone almost 8 years. It's lifelong grieving.
Someone goes, still a fan. You guys are real, and we all make mistakes. Thank you for giving us the Stassi.
Did she delete all the bad comments?
Duh.
I mean, this is like, people are quick to judge. Suppose they're perfect. Censored, fuck the haters who absolutely don't know anything about you or your relationship with your daughter. I mean, yeah, this is just like, this show is exquisite, but it's, oh wait, this is, wow. I love all the Khaleesi's coming out.
Mm-hmm. Khaleesi here. Love listening to podcast episodes with you. You're an amazing mom. Don't let them get you down.
I miss my mom. Just,
yeah.
I mean, that's sad, but like,
but this is not the place.
I think your relationship is awesome. My mom barely knows the real me. Wait, did someone who left this long? Wait a minute.
No, the longest one.
Wait, can I read it?
Yes, read it, please.
Hold on. I feel like I just lost it.
That was the one that really killed me. This one is incredible.
Do you have it pulled up?
No, let me find it. Because I was reading last night.
Oh, wait, here we go. Okay, I know, yes, this hasn't, yes, been easy for you, especially with your health. You have gone through some great obstacles, and I can't help but wonder how this amazing and strong woman is my good friend. Oh, this is her friend.
Yeah. But it gets really good.
Last night was emotional for me to watch. Just like the cast always says, you only see a tad bit of their lives each week. I can't imagine how hard it is to be judged by millions. They don't know your personality or your heart. I'm lucky enough to know the real you because we talk almost every day for the past 2 years. These evil people online do not know that you are selfless and caring. You always put your family before yourself and genuinely care about other people. You didn't have to send me flowers after my surgery or check in with Kali out of context 3 times a day after I got out. Kali. People doesn't know that you sent me the most sweetest card and necklace. When I found out I was pregnant. You have opened up your home to me and my family. I can't wait to return the favor and you come to Alabama. We all sorry guys, stay with me. We all make mistakes. We're all human. I listen to every podcast with you and her. So this is like a fan that like...
They don't really know each other that well. Because you know what? Dana did not respond to her comment. And she responded to Sheena's comment with like hearts emojis.
I think Dana's afraid of this woman.
Yeah, this is Dana's stalker.
We all make mistakes.
She's like, you opened your home to me. Okay, Dana got home one day and this woman was in there with a gun.
She was at home like... with Dana's clothes on, like in a bathtub.
Yeah,
like,
and she whispered, come to Alabama.
Yeah. We all make mistakes. We're all human. I listen to every podcast with you and her. Guys, this is insane.
This is insane.
This is the same comment. Stay with me. Bear with me, please. I know this is taking a turn for the dark, but like, please bear with me. Every episode y'all do, people can hear the type of... she used a semicolon. People can hear the type of relationship y'all have. It was a fun, special bond. She knows you love her, and I pray that Stassi will come around. To what? Are they not speaking?
I don't know. I think her...
should I abandon reading this?
How much is left?
A lot! All right, I guess I'll keep...
You
now
sent
I have
me
to
a
keep
necklace
going.
When I was pregnant. Okay, she ordered a necklace online from Georgie Jewels, and then it arrived like while she was pregnant.
We all need our mamas. I'm 30 with a newborn, and I need my mom every day. I'm sure Stassi knows you are strong, because no matter the circumstances, she knows that you will always protect her. Of course, if she is wrong about something, you are brave enough to tell her. Okay, I need to stop reading this, because guys, please...
You need to go to Dana's most recent post... A, for just the debacle spelling,
I am so freaked out by this comment.
And then read that comment and a chill will be sent down your spine and you'll burn 45 calories from just the bone chills alone.
After the endless amount of horrid, this is the same thing, horrid and painful mistakes I've made in my life, my mom still continues to love me.
Honey, take it to your therapist.
And then she goes, you are my mom, Dana. No, I'm kidding. No.
I would not have been surprised.
I'm so freaked out. I almost want to like throw my phone across the room because I'm afraid of that comment. That is the darkest thing I've ever seen on Instagram.
Vanderpump Rules claims another iPhone. I truly believe that it said, you are my mom now.
I remember you. Wait, this is a great line. And then we'll go on to Lindsay.
Yes.
I remember you saying to me one night, aka the only night, I don't want my children to follow in my footsteps. I want them to take the path next to me and go further than I could have ever dreamt possible.
That one night, the night that she found her in her bathtub.
The night that she broke into her home.
The night she held a knife to her neck and Dana said, we can be friends. We'll be friends. No, we'll be friends. It'll be okay.
They had a wine night.
And then they had a wine night and Dana just like kind of tears poured down her face as they sipped like some Chardonnay and Dana had to act like they were best friends until this fucking psycho woman left her house and is now just fully... The woman was like, can I see your ID? And took her driver's license and said, now I know where you live, best friend. See ya around. And Dana can't report her to the cops because she literally knows where she lives. She will kill Nikolai.
Up in Arrowhead?
Yeah. She's always watching.
She has a camera on. It's like the movie Creep.
Mm-hmm.
She made her play games.
She made her play games. She was like, this is so fun, isn't it? And Dana was like,
She made her recreate the opening of Vanderpump Rules.
She was like, we'll do it all over your house. You film me and I'll film you. And they had to slosh booze like all over the walls and the floors. And she's like, no, do it again. And she was like, I'll get the hair dryer and blow it on you so it looks real. And then when she left, Dana just looked around and there was like wine and liquor spilled everywhere in her house.
And Dana ran up to the computer and went to like the 9-1 like and scream. And like when Nev is like on the computer with the 9-1 operator and she's about to type, please help me. They say, what is your emergency? And you hear the woman go, Dana, what are you doing in there? And then she quickly exited out of it.
Yeah.
And then the cops came because like they came because they have to follow up. And she was like, we're just having a wine night.
Just a little ladies night.
My friends are on the back.
Girls night.
Girls night. Someone must have accidentally done it.
Yeah.
And then she was like, help me.
Mm-hmm.
The cop was like, if something's wrong, you can tell me to like...
Yeah. And then the girl comes out and she goes, Dana, there you are. And she was like, she is so sweet for opening her house to me. Did you know she sent me a necklace when I was pregnant? Anyways, bye, officer, and closes the door like right in Dana's face.
And she goes, that was fucking close. Try to pull one on me again and you'll fuck.
She goes, Nikolai will fucking die.
Oh my God. It's going to be a long night. She just goes, you thought we were done. This night is just getting started.
Just getting started, Mom.
And you hear,
don't bring your glasses on. This one's for you tonight.
Boom. Okay.
Okay, so
into another
from one
hole.
Horror story to another, Lohan's beach brothel.
Can we just talk about how incredible the show is?
This is actually the best show of 2019. I'm going to call it now.
So
it's giving us everything we need. We just watched this episode together.
I feel
renewed.
My heart was racing.
Yeah.
Like I literally felt like I just drank another coffee.
I experienced the full spectrum of emotions that a human can experience while watching television show and just like living their lives.
It was pretty incredible. I mean, so basically it starts out with like they're mad about their Lindsay's just mad at them for their
pissed.
She perceives as a slothful first day performance.
Yeah, and also in this intro, Lindsay kind of gives like a voiceover moment, which I think is going to happen every episode. How she justifies this like new chapter of her life.
Yeah,
and she says, "People have always judged me for going to clubs. Why not take it back and own it?" And it's like, bitch, no one ever fucking judged you for going to a club.
They just didn't want you to die.
Yeah, they judged you because you were like
ruining your life.
Yeah, and throwing your talent away one drink and drug at a time.
And every new chance you got to like repair that, you set on fire.
I love people always judge me for going to clubs.
It's like, it's complete. I mean,
so just like misguided. Like, and you know, that's like what she thinks too.
Yeah.
It's its own thing. We could probably podcast about that for 4 hours.
As someone who's, you know, it's,
you understand the struggle.
It's a denial thing. And, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't seem like she's really made peace with the fact that she's not like everyone else.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Fair.
Some people just can't get over. There's a little thing called terminal uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she has it forever. And once you get over that, you can maybe be helped. But until then. Anyway. So.
She limps. Sorry. No, don't apologize. She limps into the club wearing one of the most insane outfits ever seen.
It was like a pink, white striped,
like sailor-y wrap. Halter dress.
Haltered like beach wrap.
With
strappy black gladiator sandals.
And she's limping, so I think it's to cover her like broken ankle or whatever.
Which still was never really, I mean, it was kind
never
of
addressed.
On.
Yeah, I touched on in the after show, which I didn't watch this week's after show because I'm like not going to buy that on iTunes. I have respect
dignity
for myself. I know my own limits. And it was a jarring outfit.
Yeah.
And that's when you wear an outfit like that, I know you're not well.
So she's like, they're in like the middle of like Mykonos Square, like the middle of town square. And she's literally walking and there's like a horde of people. There's just a circle of people staring at her taking photos. And she goes, Panos, hey! Like calling out from the crowd wearing this fucking insane person outfit.
Yeah.
Hey!
She's like, come here.
Come here, Panos. There you are. I'm coming to you, Panos. Panos is like, oh, fuck.
God damn it. They sit down for a business meeting.
Yeah, like a little business powwow.
And they have to talk about, like, they have a whole moment where she's like, should we wear sunglasses or not wear sunglasses?
I think that we should wear them right now.
And she's like, okay, good call.
So Panos is basically like, again, he's going through like, I met Lindsay. They're going to, because people, it's going to be so chaotic. Like they're going to need to remind everyone like every episode
how we got here.
He's like, he said before 1,000 fucking times, he's like, we met 3 years ago and Lindsay is like family right now.
Yeah.
He keeps,
he's like, she is a difficult woman, but now we are friends for now.
He's real.
Yeah.
He's
like, bitch, I fucking hate you, but like this right now we get along and you're like stomachable and this is like potentially we can make money off of this. So like I'll play ball.
So one thing, just on a side, one thing that I think we both maybe have realized in this episode is that we both love Panos.
We love him.
I think Panos is actually, like, the first episode I was sort of like, I was very taken aback by him, but now I sort of see
it was the hat.
He's truly honest.
He's very honest.
And he's not like,
he's real.
I think he gets that Lindsay probably isn't the most like reliable figure.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's kind of real and he's like, look, for now it's working. And like, until she fucks up, like,
he has boundaries.
He has great boundaries.
May we all have boundaries like Panos.
Panos is a boundary king.
He's a boundary king. He does push the limit at times.
He does.
But ultimately, he knows what's right and he knows what's wrong for himself.
He may gaslight some of the employees mm-hmm. and like have weird priorities.
Be urging them into a life of sex work that they did not sign up for necessarily, but...
But he has boundaries.
He has boundaries.
And he gets Lindsay, I think. He really actually gets her.
He understands her, yeah.
Her, and he's like, he's not going to let her, like...
Boss him around. Yeah.
And she gets it, too. I think
she's not going to disrespect him.
No, and I think she kind of likes his, like, sort of dom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's...
Dom removed. Uh-huh. Like, he doesn't play... He knows how to withhold, like... the attention that she seeks from mm-hmm. someone, and he toes that line really well.
I think how they maintain stability in their powers and their dynamic with each other is that he sort of allows her to be chasing him.
Mm-hmm.
She's because he's sort of like, I don't care.
Yeah,
like he does, of course.
It's all he cares about.
Every
day
she's
he
famous.
Goes home and like writes in his diary like everything that happened with Lindsay.
Yeah, he's like obsessed with her,
and then he signs off. I care.
I do care, Panos. But it's a perfect way to like maintain his
distance
and upper hand with her is to like keep her, because Lindsay's just used to people giving her complete attention and like
she needs validation. She needs to be told she's incredible, so funny, so stylish,
and he's
so
not gonna
fierce,
do it.
And he's not here for that.
If
he's
she deserves
here
it, he will
make
say
money.
It.
Yeah.
So we love Panos.
Yeah, Panos is number one right now.
Right now. Just a note that I have that I'm not really going to explain. Everything on the show reminds me of the Hurt Locker.
Totally.
No context. We don't need to follow
that. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
Aristotle reveals he's so hot. He's a lovable, hot fucking teddy bear.
His hair,
his body,
his
face,
nose,
his smile, that his, huge nose.
His abs, his
a
chest. His big Greek nose, his hot Greek chest.
Yeah.
And hairy chest.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan.
I can forgive his apartment if I never have to see it.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it, but I'll forgive it. And
I don't know if I can do either, but I will still say he's
you'll
hot.
Just like you'll understand that it
I
exists.
I understand him.
You're going to give space.
You're
going to make space for that apartment to be part of his life.
There's a necessity for an apartment like that mm-hmm. in this world is all I'll say.
Okay. That's fair. Boundaries.
My boundaries are clear. I don't like it, nor do I need to like it, nor do I need to forgive it.
Okay.
But
fair.
But I will acknowledge it.
Oh my God.
So I'm giving it space in this universe.
I'm inspired right
Thank
now
you.
By your just like emotional maturity in this
Thank
situation.
You.
So Ari is sexy. He's revealed that he's read a ton of self-help and discipline books.
He has a lot of social anxiety.
He has tons of social anxiety. And he's on this journey to better himself and overcome his social anxiety. And we find this out because during the staff meeting, Lindsay makes everyone write their intentions down on a piece of paper and put them in like a bucket, and then she reads them one by one.
And Laura said it was like Nexium shit.
Yeah.
It was
she wants to know the thing that they're doing, Lindsay and Panos, and Lindsay more specifically, is gathering information about all these VIP ambassadors' weaknesses, then using it against them in order to make them submissive and then do their bidding.
Yeah.
So like that she's like, cause she keeps saying like, if this works out, we take it all over the world.
We
and
take it
like,
global.
What the fuck are you talking about? Take it global. This is one you take it global. You just like destroyed it during the winter. Where are you going that's global? Please, no, tell me. Like
Dubai.
I want to know. She's taking them to Dubai. She's like, you pass this test. You fuck oil man.
You fuck. But she makes them all write their shit down, and then it's kind of like they have to guess who said it.
Yeah.
So it's like a weird sort of like you can tell she's been through like some things.
Yeah, that's
some,
like a
kind of self-help
some program stuff some program coming stuff. Out. This is not like a regular what you would do in a staff meeting for a restaurant.
But the way it's like good stuff, but it's not the time and place for this.
No, but it's emotional manipulation.
Yeah.
That will lead to darkness down the road.
Which
this is just one of the steps of the fully being inducted and vetting to see who can handle it and who can't.
Well, so this comes about. Aristotle's like, one of them's like, I want to overcome my social anxiety. And everyone goes, aw. And
then Ari. Lindsay goes,
who said that?
Who said that?
And then they're like, and Aristotle's like, I did. And they're like, and they all go, what? You're so personable. Oh my God. And Lindsay goes, oh yes, you're so personable. Why do you say that?
She goes, but well, you are very kind.
You're a very kind man. Why do you say that? And he goes, he's like, yeah, you know, it's just like when I'm one-on-one with someone, I'm good. But when I'm in a group setting, it's really hard for me. And then Lindsay goes, oh, you know what I say? I say, fuck them all. Fuck them all.
Fuck them all.
Fuck them all. And he's like, okay.
Okay, that's like not actually helpful advice for how to overcome social anxiety.
Fuck them all. Disregard them all.
Fuck them all.
Fuck them all.
Like a normal boss would be like, oh, okay. Well, maybe, you know, it's okay to take a step away and honor the fact that you're feeling like that. And
take
then
a
come
breath.
Back. And just do your best.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes a pause is the best thing you can do in anything.
Yeah.
Any situation, to pause and remove yourself and then go back when you feel ready.
Yeah.
Instead, she's like, go about it full force and fuck them all.
Fuck them all.
Fuck them all. That's what I've been doing.
Yeah,
you are like such a kind man. You are so kind. You are so fucking kind. And everyone's like, okay. And then Lindsay... Then they don't read the rest.
No, they read three.
They read three and they're like, okay. And then Lindsay's like, I want to read mine now.
Yeah, Panos is like, I'm going to read yours. And then her first thing, she's at her intention on this earth, her number one, which darked me out, is to make people happy.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, well, that is very, like, no. This is why.
That is the source.
This is like literally why you're in Mykonos now filming this reality show.
It's literally why you are the way you are.
Yeah.
It's literally because since birth, you've been told, like, your parents made you, like,
be a baby
spin on your
model.
Head and spit out wooden nickels.
Yeah.
Like, just to be, like, a slot machine.
Mm-hmm.
Just to like make dinging noise and have flashing lights and make people clap.
Yeah.
That's all.
And also pay their fucking mortgage.
And also pay their mortgage and like pay for their like dentist appointments.
Yeah. And you really, I hear the ghost of Dina Lohan being like, Linz, I'm not happy right now.
I'm like, not happy.
When she like didn't get a call back.
Where's that razzmatazz?
Baby Gap commercials. Yeah.
Where's that pizzazz? I don't see it. I don't see those flashing lights. Where's your name in flashing lights, Linz? Not making me happy.
Mommy's not happy.
Mommy's not happy. Driving home in like Long Island on like a gray Tuesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Lindsay's in the backseat crying, coming in from the city. And she's like, we're not going to TGI Fridays.
Do you want to not make mommy happy today? Congratulations. Mommy's not happy.
Congratulations, Lindsay. Now you've ruined my day. Now you've ruined my day. And then Nana Lohan's like, oh, Dina, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, stay out of this. Anyway.
Anyways.
And then one of the other ones is always call Oprah.
That's her intention.
And everyone's like, everyone's laughing. And Lindsay's like, oh, I can't. Every decision I make, I have to call Oprah.
I call Oprah.
I cannot go without calling Oprah. I call her once a month. Meanwhile, Oprah's like, probably like.
Oprah's like, why the fuck did I do? That's the worst decision of my life to like give this girl the thing. Like,
yeah, Gail is like, Oprah, just delete, just block the call.
She's like, you don't have to answer every time, Oprah.
Oprah's
and
like,
Oprah's
yeah.
like, I know, but I do.
God bless
you. You know, Oprah is like a good person.
Yeah.
But it's also like, how many times is Lindsay going to mention Oprah on the show? Because it's already happened like at least
it's
four
really
times.
It's really dark. And like, there have been so many talk shows where she's on it and like, she'll be like, I'll call her right now. And everyone cheers. And she like calls her and you hear Oprah being like, hi, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's now just a, it's like a,
it's like it's her calling card.
Yeah.
It's
I
like
have Oprah's number.
She puts that on her resume as like, it's like a thing to make her an okay person.
I have Oprah's number
and she has to answer.
And she hasn't blocked
because
me
remember
yet.
That one show we did?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, ooh, yeah, I remember.
Anyway.
Anyways.
So they get their, so like kind of a test to Aristotle to overcome his anxiety at the workplace. They give him a client for the day who is. He is
Lacus Gavalis. When Panos says his name, just like a side note for anyone listening right now, Carrie and I had to turn on subtitles to like understand what was going on in this episode. Like, it
subtitles
helped a lot
along with the actual show subtitles.
Yeah. So Panos goes,
a client who days like it's Kabbalist. He's an ex-designer.
His subtitle caption is ex-designer. What the fuck does that mean?
So it's like you designed, but not like anymore. Something went wrong.
Yeah.
And you don't design anymore. And that's your number one identity.
You went bankrupt.
Yeah, you went bankrupt. Or like someone filed like a civil lawsuit against you. And now
he's legally not allowed to. He's not allowed to design in like anymore. The Western Hemisphere.
And then we get a montage of images of Lacus, and in one of the images, he is wearing a Birkin upside down on his head as a hat, which I honestly do respect. But like, it's you realize like, oh, we're dealing with like a full blown monster from the depths.
He has like it's like 80s. When Francesca Eastwood set a Birkin on fire. He has one on his head.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
So Lacos comes, he has a huge sun hat on that's like the size of a Ferris wheel.
Yeah. he comes stomping into the club
with his two dogs that are named Sex and Luca.
When do you get a dog? Like, what state of mind are you in when you buy a dog? It's like a Yorkie. You waited a long time, like found the breeder, like found this cutie dog, and then you're like, you know what, I'm gonna name this dog Sex.
And Luca.
And then Luca, which is like a perfectly fine name for a dog.
It's a great name for a dog.
His dog is named Sex. And it's not like a sexy dog.
No, it's like a cute little
Lisa
Yorkie.
Vanderpump fucking wishes she named her dog Sex. Like, she watches this show and she thinks, God damn it.
Who is this Lacus?
Yeah.
Get him on the phone.
Call Lacus. She's like, wait, what's her name?
Rosia.
Rosia?
Why are me to
Lacus?
She gets on her like Morse code. So Lacus like comes over, Ari gets and Brent get assigned to him for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And Lacus like immediately like just pulls out all the stops and he literally says, I need you to wash my fucking feet.
Yeah. He's like, Ari asks about his dogs and he goes, don't talk to the dogs. They don't understand anything. He lays down the law.
Yeah, which, I don't want you to say anything to my dogs because I don't understand it. Which, like, we decided that was kind of like, all right.
Fair. And boundaries. Probably, yeah, you know what? He speaks Greek to his dogs, most likely. He doesn't
want to confuse them.
Yeah, it could confuse them.
But I love that. Because that's, like, probably what so many people who are walking their dogs want to say.
Yeah, they're like
don't
stop.
Fucking come near my dog.
Yeah. Lacus then decides to do, like, he's like, wash my feet, like, get that all teed up for me, and then
hot towels.
Yeah, then gets hot towels for the dogs, like a bigger one for like the poodle Luca and a small town for sex.
sex,
come here.
But then it almost feels like a weird, like, fever dream. He just launches into this, like, weird display of, like, He's doming Aristotle.
Yeah, he's topping Aristotle. He's topping from the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, he's, at one point he does, like, a series of trust falls.
Yeah, and he goes, catch me. And falls back very slowly. And they just cut to, like, shots of Lindsay and Panos. Like, and Lindsay's just, like, watching, like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
And he keeps doing trust falls. And Aristotle's just, like, a good sport.
He's going with it.
And then at one point they do, like, 69ing, like, aerobatic,
like,
yoga.
When you have to, like, make someone fly. You're, yeah. Like, when you're a little kid and your parents are like, I'm in, you're gonna fly. And they lift you up with their feet.
Lacus goes, like, lift me.
Lift me. And then he spreads his legs and you can see that the production just had to blur out his nuts, yeah. Which are, like, falling out of his skimpy
his, like, big Lacus nuts are just, like, falling out of his, like, biker pants. And Aristotle's just doing it.
Aristotle's fucking chill. He watched yesterday as, yeah. Like, when the ground rules were set, where it's like,
anything
you
goes.
Will do sex work,
yeah.
Or you'll get cut. And then I like that they pair Brent with him because they're being like, okay, we saw that you're down for, like, mm-hmm. hetero sex work.
Yeah.
But, like, how are you going to act when a gay man comes
and
in?
And how he acts is how you'd expect.
A homophobic
asshole.
Piece of trash that works at the Wynn in Las Vegas would act when he's confronted, like, with an ounce of homosexuality.
Yeah. He like, first of all, he degrades Aristotle. He's like, this is disgusting that you would do this for another man, that you would get down. Like, he basically.
That you would wash his feet. You literally just have to, like, wipe someone's foot off with a towel.
Yeah. But he, like, totally embarrasses Aristotle. And, like, and Aristotle's like, as Janita points out, she goes, I like Aristotle because he's comfortable with his masculinity and has no qualms about, like, gay stuff and,
yeah.
Like, doesn't care. Like, that's a real man.
That's a real
and
man.
She points it out and mm-hmm. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
But
Janita was also unsoothed because at one point, like, Janita, watching her, she's my favorite
yeah.
woman on the show.
Me too.
Because not only is she stunning,
she's our
really
proxy.
Smart. Yeah. But then also, I'm enjoying watching her slowly realize, like, what this is.
Yeah.
Because you can tell she hasn't, like, put it together. Like, she still thinks that she's, like, on a show, she's, like, gonna work at this club, and it's, like,
and maybe then, getting some drinks.
Yeah, and then you kind of see her be, like, this
that's
isn't
not right.
And, like, but slowly over the course of this season,
yeah.
We're gonna see her realize exactly what's going on, and then hopefully watch her just, like, break free and, like, burn it all to the ground.
It's literally Suspiria.
It is Suspiria.
She's like, wow, there's an actual, like, conspiracy cabal, like, working to destroy me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so she's sort of like, but Brent is completely being a hypocrite. He's like, this is disgusting. And then the producers were amazing. You hear the producer at one point be like, you did the same thing with
yeah
Natasha yesterday. He goes, yeah, but, like, she actually paid me money, which was like, so is this fucking guy.
Yeah.
And then she goes, and I was gonna I was gonna maybe get laid.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it was like,
oh,
same here, babe.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like, you're just so okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways,
speechless.
You're a homophobe.
So Brent storms off because he's so repulsed by gay sex.
Yeah.
The hint of.
Because he's also a closeted.
Well, either he's closeted or he has, like, extreme
masculinity issues.
Which could be both. But
well, also, he said last episode that he was, like, so bullied when he was growing up that now
yeah.
he's gone the opposite direction. So that has something to do with it,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. I mean, I think there could be some definite, like, latent, like, queerness
mm-hmm.
being, like, beaten down by him, but yeah, I think
it's more of just like
he was probably savagely bullied and like probably called gay, so he's like, oh, I'm going to now be a terror, like an emotional terrorist.
Yeah, and like the second that anything remotely gay pops up, I have to distance myself from it or else I'm gay.
He's like back, like
he thinks that he's gay if like another man like brushes up against him.
Yeah, which I guess does probably mean he's, I don't know.
Who knows?
Anyway, but he's fucked up. He has a tantrum. He storms off. Then Aristotle's like, yo, we're supposed to be like tag teaming this like...
He's like, I can't make him fly on my own.
Yeah,
like, I just threw my back out, yeah, like doing a series of trust falls. Yeah. Like, I'm going to need you to just like pick up the slack here.
I need you to occasionally be the one that catches him when he does a trust fall.
Yeah, like this guy, Natasha only needed one person because it was like she was a little lower maintenance. This guy has a dog named Sex. Like, yeah, you got to help back me up,
yeah,
here.
He's literally going to be doing, he's going to be falling all day. Yeah. Like, willingly.
Sober, too, because he only drinks pineapple,
yeah,
juice.
He doesn't want anything to... So, he storms off.
Everyone's, he wants his cum to taste good. Whoever's going to suck his dick.
Yeah, he wants, like...
Len's like, be sure to drink pineapple juice today, Lacus.
Yeah.
And so he's like... They lured him there with the promise of, like, a hot blowjob, yeah, from one of the VIP ambassadors.
It's like Samantha, like... He had funky tasting spunk.
Yeah. He is Samantha Jones. He's Samantha Jones.
He's Annabelle. What's her name from the party? Annabelle.
Oh, fuck. What's her name from the party?
Annabelle Bronson.
From which party?
You know when Samantha does, she joins like the Soho House or something and then like.
Oh, yeah.
She uses like a fake.
Oh, my God.
I'm Annabelle Bronstein.
Annabelle Bronstein. That's Lacus.
That's Lacus. Yeah. But anyway, so. Brent storms off. Everyone sees it. Everyone's like trolling him. They're like, wow, his ego is so fragile. He can't even like be.
Like, he can't even stand there.
Doting on a man.
Yeah.
Like it's just. And then Brent's like, yo, I need you out there. And he's like, no, fuck this, man. I'm not going to do that gay shit. Basically.
Yeah. So Panos and Ari go to have like a sidebar conversation. And they like walk past what looks to be like a lot of like just like wooden outhouses. And I thought that they were in like the back of the club, but it's really just like the side of the club. So they sit down and Ari tells him like what's going on. And he's like, and Panos goes, I'm boiling right now inside of me.
And I was pissed too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ari's like, you know, Brent is sort of like, he's putting everyone down. He's like, assuming control over, like he thinks he's the boss, and mm-hmm. he's sort of like not being a team player, and
no.
and Panos
is
like,
gonna fly.
Yeah, Panos is like, that shit's not gonna fly. Like, he may have had a good first day, like being literally like,
can you imagine having one good day
experience?
Of work?
Yeah,
like you literally worked for one day and people and your boss was like, good job today, and then you turn into a monster after that.
So
also, there's a shot of the DJ, and I'm convinced that she's just a skeleton with a wig and tits.
That's what we...
She's literally, like, she's, like, the soul that arose from, like, the grave. Like, that was built on, like, an ancient Greek burial ground for, like, sacrifices. And her body...
Minotaur.
Yeah, the Minotaur fucking killed her. And then when the beach club was erected,
she
just showed up. Like, she came from the sand and rose into the DJ booth, and Panos was like, did we hire you? Like, did we meet? And she's like, she doesn't even speak. She just smiles and like starts DJing, and no one ever questioned it.
She speaks like ancient Greek.
Yeah.
It's like not like a dead language.
Yeah.
And Lindsay's like, I guess she can DJ.
Yeah. No one has questioned her existence, but like the truth is no one ever hired her or met her. She's from the fully Atlantis. She's from the cave of the Minotaur.
Like, Pliny the Younger wrote about her. I don't even know if that's Roman or Greek.
She just rose up with headphones on and that blue wig and started like dancing. She never said a word in her life. No one's ever had a conversation with her. She just starts like spinning. And also she doesn't even touch the thing. Like the music just plays because she's like filled with mystical powers.
She's not a DJ.
No.
She's a prop.
She's a fucking soul.
But then there's also this amazing shot where like Panos goes into like tell Lindsay like what Ari just told her, and then like a baby is at the club. Like, I'm sorry, a man comes in with his infant.
Lindsay literally is like rolling.
We think Lindsay's
Lindsay's like on full blown MDMA peeking right as some man walks by and with a baby, and she literally peeks and holds this baby and is like kind of dancing with it, but like
yeah.
holding it up, and she's the happiest she's ever been. And it's like
that. it's either just like MDMA from a long time ago that's like
that, like she like cracked her back and it got re-released into her, like,
and you can
body.
Tell the dad is kind of like
he's like, okay, I guess I have to do this because there's like cameras here, but I'm also like, uncomfortable.
And Lindsay's going like, oh, I loved the way babies, I just loved them. And I was
she like lifts it up really high in the air, like if you're gonna hold a stranger's baby, I would like clutch it close to me and let that person know that I have no, like, I would never put a baby in danger. Lindsay's like swinging around by its feet like over her head, being like
but I don't even, you know what, I don't even judge Lindsay for that, because I'm judging the man who brought his infant to Lohan
yeah,
Beach Club.
I'm really concerned about, I'm like, concerned why for that baby. That's a good place for a baby to be.
That's like when I went to fucking Governor's Ball like in New York one year, and there was an infant there with giant headphones on in the crowd,
the
and I was like, I was like on drugs looking at this, and I was like, you know,
It's not the look.
Good luck to that therapist.
Yeah. And also, like, the only person that can pull that off was Gwyneth Paltrow with Apple.
Yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow with Apple.
Going to her husband's concert.
Live Aid.
Yeah, it was just, and that like, was for a good cause. She had to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking. Don't let the DJ see that baby.
No. She's going to take it into the sea. The DJ literally came to shore. She has to collect 10 babies to offer back to... Neptune or whoever the fucking
it's
god
an
of
ancient,
the Greek
an
who's
ancient
the Greek
contract
an ancient not it's not even the god of the sea, it's like some deity that's like lives in the ocean, like a siren.
Mm-hmm.
She has to sacrifice 10 babies for her so she can finally die, and she's undead, and she's kept going by the power of the sea, and she has to sacrifice 10 babies and then she can fully die.
She's like, where can I go when the like her soul's kind of coming back to her life and her skeleton body is like getting like built together and her tits are like growing out and her blue hair is growing long. She's like, where can I go? But where can I go that will have people crazy enough to bring babies into nightclub? And then it's like Lohan Island. Yeah, Lindsay Lohan's beach house. That's where you go if you're a psycho with a baby.
So you know what happened to that baby.
Yeah. Lindsay says then she's like with Panos and he's telling her what's going down with Brent.
Yeah.
And Lindsay's like, just says, if he misses out on this opportunity, you got fuck off. Fuck off.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
She keeps going, fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Fuck off.
Yeah.
And Panos is like, okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
He's like, totally.
Yeah. And she's like, fuck off.
And she's like, just fuck off.
And she's like, I feel like
she's like a bodega owner. Lindsay Lohan's beach bodega, where she's
that'd
like
be a great show.
Yeah,
that's just like Lindsay like operating a bodega. In, like,
I'd watch
in
the
Brooklyn,
shit out of that.
In like Bushwick,
and like the employees, like she has like two or three employees that work there,
and like people come in and they're like
her ambassadors.
They're like. She like watches them and like someone comes in and he's like, can I pay like a dollar for a cigarette? Because you know how they
Yeah.
No, you don't do that. Fuck
she
off.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
Fuck off. Get out of here.
There's a bodega cat that's like gets like a confessional and the bodega cat just meows.
It's meow.
And it says like, I hate my life. There have to be cats at that club.
Oh, totally.
Like, there have to be stray
dogs.
There are
dogs. Cats all over Greece.
There has to be like a stray...
Like ocean like, cats that like
no,
eat fish.
There's a literal jackal like on the premises. Like a Greek jackal.
Yeah.
That's like a wild.
The DJ and the Greek jackal are competing over who can eat more babies. The jackal like picks them off from the like the fringes
like
of the crowd.
Moment.
Yeah, a dingo. And then the DJ's like, God damn it!
God damn it. And then her luck changes when she sees Lindsay's. Swinging the baby around like she's at Studio 54 with like a sash.
She's like literally on the dance floor of a nightclub dancing with a baby peeking on Molly.
That's the chicest thing to have, like an infant would be like
if I was on ecstasy like really and it was fully popping off and someone gave me a baby, my heart would explode out of happiness, like a beautiful cherubic angel baby.
Yeah, but then
and you just like clutch it and you're just like, oh, it's so soft and innocent, smells so good.
But then when the Molly starts wearing off, imagine the nightmare of being like, oh my God,
No. You then give the baby back and then you get the baby out of my fucking sight. I never want to remember that. I only want to remember the good times. I think we need to start a service called Club Babies, where you just pay parents like Dina Lohan to bring babies into the club. They do it. If Lindsay was smart, she would start that.
Need a fix?
Need a fix?
Are you
looking for quick cash? We'll pay you $300 to bring your baby to the nightclub
for 15 minutes.
We'll
supply earphones, and all you have to do is just
hand it off to someone whose jaw is just like fucking gnarly clenching.
And I just need 15 minutes with just holding, dancing with the baby, and like having fun, and like,
yeah, and just like peeking and like kind of squeezing it. Oh my god, that would be so amazing. I feel high right now just thinking about it.
And then we have people there that are like ready to go as soon as it starts darking you out.
Yeah,
like, just get them.
They take it and they get it out. They know how to intervene. Like, imagine being with your friends on the dance floor and like the DJ is fucking popping and then you're just like peeking on ecstasy and someone hands you all babies and you're just like, ah!
It's like you think a therapy dog is.
Try Club Babies.
You think a cute golden retriever puppy is gonna get? You think that's where it peaks with cuteness?
Pick that up the same way.
Yeah, try Club Babies.
Yeah,
they're cute. They're quiet, and they'll dance. And they're ready to go.
You can dance with them.
And then as soon as they're darked out by it,
they're out of there.
They're out of there and they're back in their crib.
Back in their crib by 3 a.m. ready for their second feeding of the night. There's like a nursing room for moms off to the side of the club where you can
like an airport changing room.
Yeah, where you nurse. And then when the baby's like happy, because no crying babies allowed, the baby's like happy and like, and then like the club ambassador comes to take the babies out onto the dance floor. And then the VIP ambassadors like distribute babies.
My stomach is actually like gonna fall out. You want to have the time of your life?
Come on down to Lohan Beach House, where we have Club Babies waiting. Panos is like, you sell at least 5 babies tonight. Sell them, the babies. I want you upsell cocktails and babies.
Janita's like, I can't do this.
Janita's like, just you see her like looking over, being like, what?
Brent's like, this is what we have to do.
Like, you're going to give a man, a boy baby to a man? You're going to give a male baby to a fucking man.
Yeah, fuck you. Like, what? That's not what I'm here for.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
This is fucking disgusting.
Yeah, always a girl baby.
Yeah. Girl and boy, you don't, no same sex babies, not on my watch.
Janita's like, what the fuck is happening?
Janita's like,
I'm going to call the...
quietly weeping in a corner.
Like, what is it?
She's like
the UN.
Yeah, she's like trying to call like on her cell phone.
She's trying to call like the Greek police.
Yeah.
Help me.
She's like, please help me. And
there's
then
babies
just, like,
everywhere.
Only speaking Greek. And she like can't get through. Lindsay comes up to her and grabs her iPhone. She's like, I'll take that. Fuck off.
She throws it in.
If you don't like this opportunity, you can fuck off.
She throws it in the Aegean Sea. And then like, and then you see the
DJ swims out of the water. No, DJ, like a dolphin.
She crab walks her way across the beach, grabs it, the phone in her mouth, and dives into the deep and puts it in her phone. She's like
it in a chest full of treasures.
She has a chest of doubloons, which is just like discarded like phones.
It's
and
like euros and like old currency,
old jewelry,
yeah,
and,
jewelry.
Like, and hats
and one earring.
Yeah, like Lacus's giant sun hat, and then she stuffs it in her little drawer. And the crab walks away. She swims. You know how crabs swim when they're like loose. She swims back to the shore, and the crab walks her way up to the beach, back into the DJ booth.
Where the music has never stopped. She just keeps dancing.
Lindsay's like, welcome!
Oh my god. Can we talk about Billy?
Yeah.
Billy's so, Billy, so sweet.
Billy's so, like...
He's hot.
Sexy.
He's a good person.
Like, I want to just, like, be, like, a parrot on his shoulder. Like, yeah. I want to just, like, latch myself to him and, like, coil around him like a little serpent and just, like...
Yeah.
Just hear what he has to say.
I feel like he's, like, a protector, too. Yeah. Like, once shit goes down and, like, the moment that, like, Lindsay's trying to, like, shove Janita in a van to be, mm-hmm. like, carted off to Dubai, oh, Billy's totally the one that would, like, her. Stand in the way.
Billy also, like, shows that, like, he went through, like, he was a, he developed, he, I think he grew, like, a foot when he was, like, 20.
Yeah, he was bullied, too. Has a very similar background to Brent, but he, instead of turning into an evil... piece of shit,
became confident and sexy and was like
respectful of women
and he like lives with his sister and he like totally like they're like best friends and he like totally has appreciation for women and he is not afraid of Brent at all and he's just like he wants to hook up with Sarah.
Yeah,
Sarah is like keeps saying that Brent is a breath of fresh air, which is like you need to go,
which is like, yeah, if fresh air smells like gasoline and farts
if fresh air smells like Cheetos spilled at like a rest stop on the Jersey Turnpike.
Yeah, with like and also Coke, like Coca-Cola was spilled on top of them, so they're kind of soggy and yeah. like then started to grow mold and then like, you throw breathe a Twinkie it in. Yeah.
And coffee.
Mm-hmm.
That's like what a rest stop smells like at like 2 a.m. on like anyway. And so Billy's just kind of like, that's funny that you what you see in him, like because I'm
he's like, I don't get that.
I don't get that, but I'll like, he's like, I'm just going to sit back here and like bide my time.
Yeah. I'm going to give her some space and then I'm going to eventually talk to her and like let her know how I'm feeling.
And then so all this drama goes down because they're all playing truth or dare.
They play, well, Mike wants to play. Mike is
we
here.
Love Mike.
We love Mike.
Mike is like,
he's silly and wants to be like sexy.
Yeah. And he hasn't had much airtime yet.
Not enough airtime.
But he's kind of like, the mascot of the group and he's like, let's play truth or dare.
He's a great energy. Yeah. He's trying to make out with like everyone on the cast. So he's like,
everyone,
let's play truth or dare tonight.
Yeah. He's ready to get naked and to like get weird.
Yeah.
So they all assemble in the back. They're all drinking. And like the rule is you either take the truth or dare or you shotgun a beer, which is like cool.
Yeah. That's classic. Like,
so they start off with Ari and they're, what do they say?
They say you either shotgun a beer or you have to run a naked lap around the pool.
And he does, and it's amazing. And you
everyone's
see,
cheering.
And you see his like floppy like shit dang in the censored.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like fun. Like that's a fun truth. That's a fun dare.
It's cute, and you know
cute.
What? He's being playful. Everyone's having a good time. The energy is great.
But of course, someone like Brent, whenever there's good energy, they just need to make it toxic.
They have to destroy it.
The only way he can thrive. So he, of course, takes the game to a dark level and says, Sarah, truth or dare? And she says, truth. And he goes,
which one of the girls do you like least?
And I'm like, you're a fucking prick.
Dude,
like, what
when you're a man and you're trying to stir up drama with women, you're a fucking bad person.
You're a terrible person. And it's like, and everyone, you could tell everyone was genuinely like, oh.
He's like human smog.
Yeah.
Like some days it's like more clear and the air quality is better. Mm. And then some days it's just like brown outside and the air quality
He's
is like,
brown.
You have to wear like a face mask if you want to survive.
Yeah. And everyone's just kind of like, dude, really? Like we were just starting to have fun finally. In like the 72 hours we've been here, and he just completely changed the night.
Yeah.
He hijacked the night.
And Sarah kind of plays into it a little bit, which is like,
question her
yeah,
bit.
I was like not,
but she redeems herself.
She redeems herself later, but she's like, well, you know, I kind of like everyone, but if I have to be honest, like the person that I've had just like trouble with is May.
May starts crying.
May is like crying immediately.
There's
like
a shot of her like in a confessional on the beach and she just has running mascara and she's like, I'm trying so hard.
Yeah. May is like not cut out for this lifestyle. No. Like she still hasn't like been able to equalize out from like jet lag. Like she doesn't know how to like feed herself properly.
I don't think she's ever worked.
Yeah. She's kind of just like, wait, what is this? Like
yeah.
in a different way than Janita, in a way that it's like May actually like
doesn't know how she got there.
Yeah. She like can't sustain this physically, emotionally, or spiritually.
So they like, so then it's just kind of like, well, I guess that's over.
Yeah.
And so everyone kind of like splinters off. And then
he really killed the vibe of truth
totally,
or dare.
Mike's cute,
sexy,
Mike, sexy, playful game was completely shattered by this fucking
asshole.
Bag.
From the Wynn.
From the Wynn. Yeah, and he keeps going, I work at the Wynn in Las Vegas.
Like, barf. Ugh.
So anyway.
Billy then claps back. Oh, it ends actually when Billy claps back at Brent because it's his turn for being like truth or dared. And he goes, dare. And then Billy's like, I dare you to go one day without calling anyone on their bullshit. And then Brent's like, I'll just chug a beer. And yeah. It's like, okay, well, you just won't even play the game anymore. Yeah. You're fucking dick.
He can dish it out, but he cannot take it.
Not take it one bit.
So then fucking Jules / Jill / Dana, the blonde white
We don't
girl
know
from
her
Denver.
Name.
We don't know her name. I think it's Jules,
Jules, but I was starting to call her Dana.
Dana.
It felt right.
Dana. Her name's Dana.
Yeah.
She.
Or Jill.
She kind of fucks shit up.
She does, because Billy finally, like, gets his chance to talk to Sarah, and Sarah reveals that, like, yeah, she initially liked Brent, but she thinks that Billy's, like, a much better fit for her.
Yeah.
And Billy's like, I'm not gonna, like, compete with him or fight with him.
He's like, literally, he's half the man I am physically.
Yeah. He's like, if you like what you like, I'm down, like, let's go with it.
Yeah.
And then Dana just goes directly to Brent to just, like, blab to him about everything they said. Because Sarah goes and, like, tells the girls what Billy said. And then, like, fucking Jilly goes and, like,
ruins it. So then,
classic fucking white girl.
Classic girl. And then she's kind of like, wow. Like, and then he gets all pissed and he's like, fucking Billy. And he's like, I'm going to go say something to him. And then Jill/Jules is like, wow, like, way to have a mature reaction. But meanwhile, you're like, you wanted to do that because you are like, I'm not relevant in this scene. Because
You're like, okay, Alexis, you're literally like fucking white bread. Like, what are you bringing to the table?
She's bringing nothing to the table. So she's like, my best bet is just to like start drama.
Yeah.
So then Brent goes into the house, finds Billy, and Billy's like eating something. And Brent's like, yo, man, we gotta fucking talk.
Yeah.
And then literally Brent. Or Billy stands up.
And he's a 2 feet taller.
He's like a redwood tree. And then you see Brent kind of like, yeah, we'll go out back.
Yeah.
And then Billy has to duck in to get into where they're sitting. Because he's just so hot and tall and sweet.
He can't even stand up straight in this like covered little like area of the villa.
And Brent looks so tiny and like. And then
you can wormy.
And you can tell Brent immediately is like, maybe he was going to pop off on him. But now he's like. Now I'm actually afraid of him because I know.
Yeah, because he's also being really calm. Like he's completely unreactive and he's like, okay, yeah, let's talk. And it's like, that is the most disarming thing you can do to some little like douchebag hothead.
So Brent's all like, well, you know, it's really just like, I'm going to blame the women now.
And he's chugging tequila out of a bottle. Like in between chugs, he's like, yo, like you fucking want Sarah? That's fine. I'm in a house surrounded by twos. Everyone's fucking ugly in this house. Every fucking girl is fucking hideous in this house. And it's like, A, that's just not true. Everyone's gorgeous.
But he literally says every woman in this house is ugly. And meanwhile, Sarah and Jules/Jill are like,
listening.
And Janita, they're behind a tree.
Yeah.
Listening.
And like, he's like, Sarah, maybe she'd be hot if she like lost 7 pounds. And it's just like, okay, you're a fucking bullshit idiot.
She's also not like on an objective level. Like she's literally so thin.
She's like hot and has like a great body. Like literally there's no one in that house that you would be like.
They're ugly.
You're ugly.
He's the ugliest.
He's the ugliest person because he has an ugly soul. And if you cut him open, just ashes spill out.
And he has like Chris Klein hair from like the late 90s.
Nice
and
only Chris Klein hair.
Yeah, and only Chris Klein could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So then he's like, yo, man, I wouldn't even look at her. I wouldn't even fucking look at her, man, in Vegas, man. And he's just like,
it's just like, okay, man? Well, you're so threatened.
But like, what guy is telling a girl to lose 7, like specifically like 7 pounds? Like, he's just such a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, he's a fucking mean bitch.
He's a little bitch.
So then this is where it gets good. Sarah's obviously hurt because she was like, well, now any crush that I had on you is completely shattered by your, like, you know, mania.
But he's also someone that's like, whenever they get threatened, they just burn down anything because that's easier for him to be like, oh, fuck them, than be like, oh, maybe someone is more into someone else than they are into me.
Yeah, he couldn't handle the fact that she was more into Billy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it came down to.
Ugh.
Because he probably likes Billy. I don't know. So then Sarah and Janita They hold hands.
Janina grabs a bottle. They hold hands.
They walk down together.
Like she's gonna just fucking sucker. There's smash a great him in
shot
the head.
Where you see Janina's hand grab a tequila bottle, and you're like, "What's she gonna do?"
I was so excited. I thought she was just gonna smash it over his head.
So then,
I wish she had killed him.
Me too. So then they walk down to where, and he's just blabbering away. He's like, "Yo, man, I fucking slay bitches, man. I'm just fucking hot. Like I fucking fuck girls." And then all of a sudden, Janita or Sarah comes over with a glass of alcohol.
They pour the bottle on his head.
He slowly looks down, and then Janita chucks it in his eyes.
Yeah.
And then they walk off.
And they fucking turn around and walk off. It's the most
hand in hand
queen move.
Yeah.
Ever.
And Brent, and then you see Jules, like she's like standing by him, and she's like, "Oh my god, like what?" And you see Billy's just kind of like, again, non-reactive, just kind of like, wow.
He just gets up and like walks away.
And you just see Brent.
Brent's sitting there dealing with his like eyes, which you know are stinging.
And singing with tears. Yeah, he's clearly stinging with tears
and like Jose Cuervo gold.
He's really embarrassed. And he's like, and
humiliated.
What does he say? He says something like, "That was uncalled for." Or like,
did
like,
he say that?
Or he said something like, "Well, whatever." Like, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, can't handle
it. He just can't handle it.
And then the girls go in and they just start like all cackling in bed together.
And like high fiving and like laying in bed being then, like, yes. And like off to the side, Dana like tries to come over.
She made a great point.
Down and like all the girls are like high fiving and she kind of like tries to like lean in and drunkenly high five them, but like can't really make contact.
And they're like, they know it.
Yeah, like, she's just like a Becky at this point. You're like a fucking full Becky. And then May is just sitting off to the side, like terrified.
With like Old Bay chips. And she's just like eating and she's just like listening and she's
too innocent for this.
But Gabby and Janita and Sarah are just like they're lulling together.
Yeah,
they're all like that fucking pussy, like fuck him.
And also it's like really refreshing to see because like early days of Vanderpump Rules, if a guy had said that, which like I feel like it did happen, Jax would say something and then the girls would like tear each other's throats out.
Yeah.
And it would be like somehow one of their faults and they would just like destroy each other over just like being like, this guy's a fucking clown.
It took the girls in Vanderpump like five seasons, seven years to get the courage to say that Jax is like a shitty person,
but they still love him and support him.
This was kind of major to see a bunch of girls just being like, this guy's a clown, let's show him that he's a clown.
Yeah.
And then they have no, and they're just like casually,
and then they're all friends off. And they even let Becky in.
Yeah, they're like, Becky, you just kind of started this, but you come in and high five,
hang on the bed. Yes. They're like, "Make, get over here." And May's
but I love it. And they're just like, they're high-fiving, they're live, laugh, loving. And then Brent is like shattered. So he proceeds to get like lethally drunk.
He just continues
like
chugging.
Charcoal drunk.
Yeah. He's chugging and he's so drunk that the booze is just falling out of his mouth and he's like drooling on himself. And he's just being like, fuck that.
And then Aristotle's like weirdly like tending to him.
Yeah.
Because I guess he needs
he's codependent.
And
Mike literally at one point, Brent is like passed out on the ground and Mike comes out and he's like, what happened?
Yeah, where was he?
He's like, he was just like asleep. Yeah. I think once Truth or Dare really like
Mike was stopped bummed.
Me to think. Yeah, he was bummed. He was like, I wanted to make out and like it just didn't work.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go to sleep and tomorrow's a new day. Like Mike has like a positive attitude. Like he's just waiting for his moment to be just like so silly.
He went in and watched like YouTube clips on his phone and then he came back out and Brent is literally passed out below the coffee table. And Mike goes, Brent, you're falling asleep mid-sentence. And then Billy's like eating like pasta and he's like, all right. And he comes in, he's like, I might think he's a dick, but I'm not going to let him like injure himself. So he takes him out to like the highway,
the side of the road,
and
tries to get him to throw up.
He's like basically like sticking his fingers down Brent's throat because Brent is like on the verge of like needing alcohol, like his stomach pumped.
Yeah.
And this was wild, but he's profusely vomiting. And then they show him with yellow bile all over his face.
Yeah.
And chunks. And you were kind of like, it was amazing. And the producers are just trolling him.
Trolling the hell out of him.
We were screaming.
We were high-fiving. We were like Janita and the girls. Janita and Sarah on the bed. Invigorated. It was the best payoff And so early on, too. Yeah. Like, I live for that shit.
He was humiliated.
Set someone up to be a full-blown villain. Make me hate them, wish that they would die on air. I would have watched a snuff film. If you told me I could pay $20 on the dark web and fucking would get sent a snuff video of Brent, I would be like, actually, I'll pay you $30. Here you go.
It was very, it was like truly satisfying. But like, they went there with that shot of the throw up, I think.
Yeah.
That was kind of, like, I thought they usually they don't show that stuff.
It was chef's kiss level. So good.
And then they showed us, and then this was all at 11 p.m. And then meanwhile, and there's a counter.
Oh, yeah.
So it seemed like this all happened over like...
This happened over like a 15 minute period because we forgot like in the middle of all this drama, like the girls pour it on Brent and then it cuts to 11:30 p.m. and it's at Lindsay's villa.
It has a shot that we decided looks like Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And we were like, we're not sure if it's actually Greece, but it's like a shot of like these hillside villas with like the sea in the background. And it says 11:30 p.m. and there's like, it's... doesn't even look like it's night. It's like so weird.
It's like a bright night. And Lindsay is making dinner. You hear a voice and she goes, if Oprah could see me now. And we were both shooketh.
It's like the caption on the screen said, if Oprah could see me now. If Oprah could see me now.
Oprah does, and she weeps. It keeps her up at night every time she sees your face.
Cut to Lindsay making like a fish dinner at 11:30 because she's very European though.
Yeah, she's like literally there's a shot someone brings in like full fish and then you just see, although Lindsay is surrounded by gay men, there's not a woman in
sight. She has no female friends anymore.
It's all gay men that look like different versions of each other.
Yeah.
Laughing at everything she says. Like, she just needs like gays around her to like congratulate her for still being alive.
Yeah.
At this point in the night, she looks like someone dragged her behind a truck.
Yeah.
The highway and deposited her in front of her villa. But her hair is like a mess.
There's untold amounts of gay men just like in her doing God knows what in her
laughing,
villa.
And
live, laugh, loving.
Every once in a while, like a couple of them like go in the back and do some booty bumps of like blow, and then they like come back out and watch Lindsay cook.
I know.
And it's like Lindsay's putting on a cooking comedy show, like because it cuts to someone chopping up a fish in a way that's like you can't prepare a fish like that.
And she's like, oh, do I need to like do everything myself? Do I need to debone the fish? Do I need to take the bone out of the fish? What do you want me to do?
She's like, I rip the head oven. We cook it.
You eat the eyeballs.
She eats the eyeballs.
She forces one of the gays to like eat an eyeball, and he goes, "Oh, do I have like a magic spell on me now?" And she's like, "Maybe."
And then they all laugh.
And then it cuts. And it was like, "Why are we watching?"
And it's like
this bitch
is straight up making dinner at 11:30 p.m. You know, none of those men are going to eat that.
I know.
She goes, I'm not Martha Stewart. I've already been to jail.
And but I was like
it's like Martha so went to Martha. What?
Martha went to jail too. She was like the queen of her jail. Martha was in jail.
Yeah, Martha went to prison.
For like a year.
Yeah.
Lindsay was in jail for
like 2 days.
2 days.
And screamed like a little ghoul in like a cell. They had to like separate her. And like Alexis Nyers was in jail at the same time as her. And she said at night you could hear Lindsay wailing.
I love Alexis Nyers.
Fucking praise Alexis
She's
Nyers.
She's actually an incredible
like, She's an incredible human. She's an inspiration to us all.
Like she literally now.
She went there, she touched the darkness and came back to tell the tale.
And now she like goes and like helps people who are like on heroin benders, like clean. She like drives around and like picks them up and like drives them to rehab.
She's a saint.
Yeah.
And anyway. A queen. Anyway.
So then like at this point, after the emotional triumph that we just saw with Sarah and Janita like owning Brent, like why do I need to see Lindsay making fish?
Yeah. Anyway. It's just, but I'll take it. And
I want more of it.
So the next day, everyone heads down to the club, and Panos comes out to address them with an outfit that would actually kill you if you were too hungover.
Yeah.
Like, if you... it's a kind of hangover.
It's a romper.
Yeah, it's a romper. It's so bright. Like, I loved it, but I know if I was hungover, I would instantly throw up when I saw him.
Brent has that smug, like, I know I fucked up last night.
But he thinks it's like kind of funny and
he thinks
charming.
It's funny. He did not apologize.
He has no idea that he's demonic.
Yeah. He did not apologize at all. He didn't apologize to any of the women that he's working with for telling them that they're ugly.
Yeah.
And that one of them needs to lose weight. Like,
yeah.
Just
he's a disgusting,
you're
Vegas
disgusting
trash.
Puke pig.
Yeah.
So
puke pig.
Sorry.
I like that.
We're going on Brent today. But.
Oh, it's fair. He earned it.
So
that puke pig.
That puke pig.
You're a puke pig.
You are a puke pig. pig, Kim Richards. You are a slut pig.
You're a slut pig.
Well, at least I'm in the bathroom doing fucking crystal meth. And then Kyle, okay, anyway. And she, so then he has a, he demands a meeting with Panos and is like, I feel like I'm...
I should be like the boss. I don't know what he was even trying to say.
He says, I don't work with for you, I work with you.
And I don't like feeling like I work for you.
And Panos is like, no, bitch, like, I'm literally your boss.
Yeah.
So then he demands a one-on-one with Panos.
Yeah, and where he,
which
like...
Which is like a setup.
Which Panos is a setup, is like, yeah. And like Brent is like trying... I don't know what he's trying to do, but he's like slamming the table and Panos is not having it.
What's happening is he feels his masculinity is so demolished by what happened that he needs to own someone and make someone feel less than him. So he's going to choose Panos because he perceives Panos because he's gay and like smaller than him. Meanwhile, Panos is like the last person you want to do that to.
Yeah, his Panos boundaries. Is literally going to be like, put his boundary flags up. And then
it's amazing.
It's incredible. See, Panos is like, do not do that.
There's this part where Brent slams his hand on the table to demand that Panos listen to him. And Panos points to his slamming and goes, don't do that to me.
Yeah.
He goes, don't fucking do that to me.
And Panos doesn't even like raise his voice or even get bothered. He's just like, he's like, you want me to have one-on-one time with everyone? I'm not doing it. He's like, why are you here? You're supposed to be working.
He's like, there's 1,000 people downstairs. Go down and fucking do your job. He's like, if you want a one-on-one with me, do it after your shift.
Yeah.
And then Brent is, it's like a ruined man.
It's incredible. And then Brent like says some shit to Panos and Panos hits him with a keep it.
Yeah, he goes, he's keep
like,
it.
I see what you're doing here. Keep it.
Keep it.
Iconic.
Iconic.
Iconic. And
Brent, you can just tell, was like completely flabbergasted.
Yeah. And he crosses the highway to go back over to the beach brothel, head hanging low, tail between his legs.
Staring out at the sea. And
he's staring out the sea.
Thinking about sixth grade.
Yeah. Wishing he could like fill his pockets with rocks and walk into the surf, never to return again.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And then like the DJ as a crab person like walks by him. Out of my way.
Yeah.
She
won't even claim his soul because he's like,
it's too rotten.
Yeah, it's too rotten. And then Panos FaceTimes Lindsay.
Yeah, we were wondering where she was. I think she's maybe in Dubai.
She hopped on a PJ at like 1 a.m. You know when you get like people and once it hits like 1 or 2 a.m. and they're really like fucked up and amped up and they're just like, I'm going to Dubai. Yeah. And then like she calls up like one of her sugar daddies and she's like, can I get the plane? And he's like, yes, Lindsay.
She's like, we can be there in literally like 5 hours.
Yeah. And so she's in Dubai and Panos FaceTimes her. And she answers the FaceTime too, like striking a pose.
She's like, it's as if she doesn't have, like, it's as if
she's turned to the side.
As if no one, as if like the phone is like filming her like on its own.
Yeah, as if she has like a selfie stick that's like far away. So her arm's like extended and she's giving like a side smirk to it. Like, she's like, hello.
And he's like, I need to talk to you about Brent.
He goes, you remember Brent. Like, yeah. Which is like telling because she probably doesn't.
Yeah, that was amazing. Because I think at that moment you were like, oh, wow.
She doesn't know anyone's name.
But that's why Panos gets her.
Yeah.
You remember Brent, one of the VIP. And she goes, yeah. And for a minute you're like, no, I don't think she did.
He might have to fill her in sometimes. Like, he was prepared to be like, Brent, the one with the slick back hair, you like him, and he's a Natasha. And
then, yeah.
Yeah, but think Lindsay's like on it.
But then he says, you know, he runs it down like he's belittling everyone, blah, blah. And then Lindsay says, well, it's probably just because he's a drunk and likes attention.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, everyone is reaming him.
Game
hard.
Recognized game.
Lindsay saw it and called it like it was.
Yeah.
Lindsay, it's like,
she is wise.
No matter how like unclear you are on her during the episode, by the end she always comes back and you're like, she's the center.
You're like, she gets it.
She gets it. What a wild show.
Yeah, this show is
Please tell your good. Friends. If your friends haven't watched it, make PSAs.
Make your parents watch it.
Make your parents watch it. Send a family email to your aunt.
Yeah. Make it a family affair.
Yeah, post
on Facebook. If you're beefing with a family member, you haven't talked to them in years.
Just send them the link to it.
Send them the link to this and
context.
Be like, yeah. And then they'll watch it and they'll be like,
I get it.
I get it. And can we get coffee sometime?
Yeah, let's get coffee, cousin.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me back on.
Thank you for being here.
I'm
this
so
is
excited
an incredible journey. I can't wait for next week.
How many episodes are there?
Who knows?
God, I hope there's like 40.
I know. Anyway. I hope this is like a year round. Like, I hope we go immediately to Lohan, Athens, like Club Lohan next.
Yeah. So that's the last thing I will say in this episode is that we have said it today, and please hold us to it, that we will be recording live.
We're going to record live from Mykonos.
In the club.
On the dance floor. This summer. But yeah.
With a baby.
We actually need to secret that.
And we're gonna
somehow we'll get there.
And we're going to be in the middle of the dance floor. And we don't care if people are going to be stepping on us.
Yeah.
We're going to be coming
to
you live.
We'll have like low-key surveillance mics so that we can just be like dancing and talking and giving like live updates. But like, it's happening.
It's happening.
We're going to fucking Mykonos this summer. I'm excited.
Shake hands. I just shook with my my sweaty right hand. Left hand.
We shook hands, locked eyes.
We're doing it.
It's set in stone.
Okay.
I can't wait to see that DJ in real life.
I mean, she'll be underwater by then.
Yeah. She'll have claimed the souls of enough babies to return back.
She can
back.
Sleep for a
yeah.
while. She can sleep for like 500
Hibernate.
Years.
Yeah, for another 500.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.